Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Doesn't sound like the usual mindless, boring, getting to know you chit chat. That sounds like you actually have something to say.
Well,
why are we having these conversations? What the hell am I doing here?
Now's the good stuff.
Right, nice. I don't know how to introduce. Because we gigged together. And I was hosting, and I introduced you as my good friend. And you sort of took the piss out of me calling you my good friend.
I knew this would happen. Basically, it was a lovely gig. It was lovely. Yeah. But you kept saying that, oh, he's a really good mate of mine. And we've only just got to know each other. And
I said it once. Yeah.
Yeah, but you did say it a couple of times, and the crowd were like, oh my God, it's like his best mate. It's going to be his best man at his wedding. And I rock up, and I just thought that'd be quite funny to say, best mate, what's he on about? Barely know him. And the crowd loved it. So I don't, if anything.
Yes, it's true as well.
I made the night enjoyable, but I did apologize to you as soon as I came.
If I get inkling that this is a good person, I'm like, he's my good friend.
No, I want to be a good friend. It's like at school, isn't it?
Yeah.
You copy them. I've copied you.
I went up there, he's going to love this. I'm going to say, he's my good friend. And then you come on stage and took the piss out of me in front of 60 people.
Yeah, but there's some. No 60 people will remember. But the thing is, that those 60 people, like, who are you saying that for? For me, I loved it. I loved it. But I've got to make sure that in front of those 60 people that I'm still professional.
What should I say next time?
I just cuss you a little bit. But I was glad to be, you know, a good mate. I feel like we worked to that stage. We've had how many coffees now? Two? That's practically besties, isn't it?
Two coffees? I think I'm more than that.
I might get you to do a eulogy at my funeral.
Yeah, because that coffee. he loved a mocha. I remember him mainly about because of his mockers. That's all we ever did, basically. We went for coffee, didn't we? That was nice.
Really nice. It's sometimes when you meet another comedian. We met at Margate. Lovely gig. Yeah. Funny story, I don't think I've even told you this, but Georgie, my fiance, was staying upstairs, top floor of the hotel, and that was a basement gig.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I go upstairs, oh, gig was really good. And she went, yeah, it went quiet in the second half. And I was like, oh, don't say that.
That's your section. First half sounded great.
Yeah, she just wound me up. She said, it's very loud in the first half. And that Jack Skipper was it. And I was like, all right, I'm going to be his best friend one day. Mark my words. And then we said, oh, we should go for a coffee. And then that's what we did. And that very rarely happens with other comics.
Nice. And then we had a moment where I ordered a coffee and I showed how much I know about coffee. Because I was like, a new friend, soon to be my best friend.
Yeah.
And I was like, can I have a coffee, please? And then what sort of coffee? And I sort of froze. I was like, oh.
Whatever. Because just pick one.
Yeah.
But coffee. But you know what? That's a good way of getting to know something.
By coffee.
Well, yeah, just pick a new one each time. If you stick to the same one.
Oh, I thought you meant that's a good way to get to know someone is by what coffee they drink.
Yeah. Well, I just decided you were always going to be, you can never guess with you, Jack. Do you know what I mean?
No,
like, it depends what mood Jack's in. And you just went, just any of them. You choose. I'd love to do that in a restaurant where you rock up and go, I would just have, you pick the best. You know, like,
I feel like a bull. I do.
Do
that.
You?
I say, oh, would you recommend? I don't know. Because I can't bother to. I'm not fussy. I don't think I'm very fussy. I don't know much I don't like.
No. But that's a good thing. Whereas I would be thinking about the cost. I'm like, they'll go for the most. They'll go for lobster.
What would you recommend under a tenner?
Yeah.
I'll go for that, please.
What best Pret deal have you got? I'll take anything.
You could just go for like a date. Pick anything from the specials menu.
But not that one or that one. Just go for this one. Let's go for this one.
You do try and do that as well. Like someone's got the menu. The fish and chips looks really good, didn't it? Like, mate, and then they're looking at the T-bone steak. Like, I don't know. It looks a bit...
Well, if you are having that, I'm having a bit as well. I've realised the older I've got, the more annoyed I am. I hate going out in a big group and splitting the bill. There's always someone who's just taking a piss. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I feel like, just let it go. You're chilled out, Tom. Let it go. But I'm not chilled out. I'm like, they've had three beers now. And then they'll go, oh, should we get more? And should we split the bill? And you're like, you were pushing for that. Yeah, and it makes me feel bad about myself. Mm. But then at the same time, I'm like, nah, we just pay for what you have, mate.
I think that's
bad.
I sort of sit in both camps where I was just sort of like, I hate that moment where there's that wanky dividing up things and you just feel like, oh God, can we just not do this? But then also I don't like the piss take. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is me. I have no opinions. I'll just turn up places. That would be my perfect way to live. It's just a PA or a manager, just point me in direction of things and go, right, go over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Do that thing. Like, making decisions and...
You want to be a celebrity?
Well...
Like a really, really good one. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with sitting on the fence.
Let's take today for an example. Okay. Right? What day is it today? It's Wednesday. So let's... 2 p.m.
Yeah,
let's meet in Vauxhall. We'll do the podcast. We arrived. It's booked for tomorrow. So that's that's what happens when I'm in charge. All right. So that's the sort of shit.
Okay. So what you're really saying then is this: for getting to the good stuff, you need someone to get you to the good stuff.
Yeah.
You need someone who's going to direct you and navigate you.
That's it. Just point me in that direction of that thing, and I'll do what you need me to do, but without any sort of admin. Admin, like anything like that. I had to book a flight yesterday. I just kept putting it off. I still need to renew my car insurance. I can't bother. Yeah. That's my idea of hell. It's just going down to the fiery depths and Satan making you renew your car insurance for eternity, putting you on hold for eternity. getting a private number plate put on a van.
If I go third party in fire and theft, what if I go up one? Will it just get me done? The thing is, I think doing stand up for so long now, I've got a gig up in Manchester in March, and I've booked the hotel. I booked it 2 months ago. I'm like,
you're good at that, are you?
I'm better at it because I hate last minute. I feel like if I rock up and I could have saved 50 quid, in my head, I'm like, well, that's a night out. There's beers there. I could get other drinks for other people.
It's another argument why we should be best friends. Because
this is yin and yang.
Yes, yin and yang. You know what I mean? You're the missing part of me.
This is it.
And I'm the, what are you not very good at that I could do?
Here we go. Trying to think of something off the fly. I'm not very good opening up. That's
what,
one.
Like letters or?
Yeah.
I could do that for you.
Oh, no. HMRC again.
Open this letter for me. I'm your man.
The thing is, I probably shouldn't say this, but I still get them sent to my parents. And my mum will just mess with me. Oh, another HMRC. Is everything all right? Can we help with everything? I'm like, no, I'm just avoiding it. Tax avoid. I'm just avoiding paying my debts. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
So open up, like emotionally?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's get into that.
The look of fear in my eyes then. I think I am not good at being motivated. Like I look at someone like you and you are fully on go, like the Instagram, the videos, gigging, competitions, you just live and breathe comedy. And I've got to that point where I'm a bit like, I'd rather walk the dog. Like at least the dog doesn't answer back. So that's kind of where I'm at. So like finding that drive again, that's what I'm finding.
Did you have it at the beginning though?
Yeah.
Well, that's it then. That's all. I'm just at the beginning. Isn't I? That's all it is.
Maybe it's never. Maybe it's like a Ronan Keating. Maybe it's a roller coaster. I've got my up point. It's a down point at the moment. But everything must. What goes down must come up.
Yeah. I think that's it though. I think that's because it's like the only reason it's like I'm so motivated at the moment is because I'm just like just excited, isn't it? It's like a new. It's a new thing. And also it's like when you spent your life doing a job like waking up loading vans and fucking living that life. That's hard work. When they're God, look at him. Look, he's uploading 15-second videos every day. What a trooper. Yeah. do you know what I mean? It's not hard. I mean, it's fucking...
But it's an escapism. I remember moving to London going, all right, let's just give stand-up a chance.
Yeah.
Please, just give stand-up a chance, would you? So I did, but I was working in a hotel, getting up early hours to go there. And the till roll... pushing the button down and just jotting down ideas constantly on the till roll, like that blank bit. And I was like, oh, I'll use that tonight, and just tucking it in my waistcoat and then carrying on. And I hated it. Like,
you're gonna hate it.
No, no, but I hated being there because I wanted to be, I just didn't want to be there. I wanted to be at stand-up gigs.
Yeah.
And I still enjoyed it. But now when that is what you do, it takes a little bit of shine off the magic.
I think sometimes you do have to remind yourself of them weird. You never do, do you? You never, when you're in the moment doing the thing, you're always looking for the next thing. Sometimes you have to do. I remember I had an office job when I was like 19. It was in Hammersmith, and I used to walk past the Apollo every day.
Yeah.
Not that I've done the Apollo, but I'm just saying, I used to walk past it and think,
it's a nightmare roundabout there, Jack. It's awful for traffic.
Walk past the Apollo, go to a kebab shop next door, and go, one day, I'll get a kebab from But I used to think, oh, imagine like doing that as a job.
Yeah,
making people like imagine that. And then when you're doing it, you're just going, oh, but I need more.
Yeah,
you gotta fucking enjoy it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. Like, you do get bogged down with the certain gigs. Like last week was really busy for me, just lots of work. I did a job, like a presenting job, which, you know, presenting pays nicely. And then I got a gig in the evening, and I just had loads of gigs in. And then I got home and I was like, I'm just tired now. And you're like, no, that wasn't. If you'd have shown me that 10-15 years ago and go, this is what you're doing, my mind would, I just melted.
Yeah,
like just the excitement of it. So I suppose it's about finding the new things now and to get motivated and just go, that drive again, because no one wants to hang around with someone who just hasn't got that drive. You want to hang around with like-minded people that just got a buzz for things.
And also it's just like, you get into comedy because you like having a laugh, don't you?
You've
got to remember to have a laugh.
100%. And so actually coming full circle, meeting you and just seeing that buzz, some comics will go, oh, here we go, the enthusiasm, excitement.
Yeah.
Not me. I was like, oh, you sort of like shined a light on that. That's what comedy is, and you forget that. So to hang around with you, and we went for that coffee.
Best friends. This is what I mean.
This is what you should do. It's like help the aged comedian. You should go in there, just hang out with them for a little bit, and just remind them of, this is a brilliant job. It is amazing to travel around, even to get mugged off by the crowd. Sometimes you're like, actually, yeah, it's better than being in the office worrying about putting a label on my lunch. You know?
Do you know what someone said to me? They said like, well like, even about this podcast is like, on like that Paul McCaffrey clip last week. Someone said, oh, so you're laughing the whole way through it, like, and it's like. Like it's some sort of like premeditated. I'm laughing because like there's a comedian in front of me telling a funny story. It's like I get that sort of giddy. I'm excited. Do you know what I mean? I feel like excited and privileged to be there. I'm not one of the comedians who's so like sort of like I hang out with comedians. And I know I can play it cool. I'm like, I'm really excited. Do you know what I mean? I can't stop laughing. You know what I mean?
Those are those like best car journeys when you start traveling with other comics to gigs. They can be electric in a car. You just have these beautiful moments. I suppose just finding those moments are what it's all about. But you can't premeditate it.
And also there's a feeling when you get into comedy, you're like, oh, I'm going to meet so many comedians and they're all going to be really funny because all comedians are funny. And then you go, no.
I didn't get that gig in Slough. That's ruined the evening.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, no, I was supposed to be doing it. I was supposed to be doubling up, actually. That's 150 quid I won't see now.
Yeah, Carl.
Oh, cool. I mean,
the cost of petrol now, I mean, the last week.
This is my first ever gig here.
Oh, yeah, I remember my first ever gig. Look at me now, not performing in Slough.
You know, just burst the bubble, kill the vibe. But yeah, it can be beautiful. So yeah, this is great, mate. So I've been listening to the podcast. I watched the podcast.
This one?
I was stressing about what to wear. What did I bring up? A shirt. It bloody matches the curtains, so I've had to take it off. Who's this bloke?
That's too much prep. I think you've been watching the podcast too much.
I know.
Well, subconsciously, you've come as the studio.
I just wanted to blend in the background. Just a little floating head, like, hey, Jack.
You really kept up with the theme of the podcast. He's come as the studio.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to ask your first question on Get to the Good Stuff. Have you ever had a near-death experience?
I feel like I'm having one every time I get in a flight. Like that's genuinely, but I don't know what I would do. Do you not? I mean, I'm scared of flights.
I used to be more than I am now. I still have that moment of this could just fucking.
It's the turbulence moment.
Yeah, yeah.
But someone said to me, a promoter was like, "Stop saying that. Stop saying you're scared of flights." And I was like, "No, but I am." She's like, "Stop saying it." I was like, "Okay, I'm not, but I am." And she was like, "Yeah, but the more you implant that theory," so I tried it. It does work. I was like, "As long as we make it, it's fine." But I don't know what I would do. I stay awake as long as possible, thinking I might be of use. Like, oh no, the plane's going up. What am I going to do? I'm like, well, good job I stayed awake. And gripping onto the hand. But no, there's been no real death apart from almost dying. Because
there you go.
No, 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 no.
That's exactly what I meant.
No, sorry, mate. I was thinking about it. I always think I might die in a plane, and I feel, I should have definitely written that will.
Yeah.
Should have, just said that.
There's no point writing me.
This one was because of a pasty, and it's my own stupidity. It's because of a pasty. And it wasn't one of these, like, try and eat the pasty and, just try and get it all in my gob in one go. It was because of a Greggs. And I don't know why, but I'd heard about a new particular bake that had come out. And I just started walking across the road towards it, not taking in the fact that I'm in the middle of a road.
You're overwhelmed by the new bake.
Yeah, I was like, oh, you know, like, my head sometimes was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have a bit of that. And I start heading towards it, not really thinking about everything. Car sees me, thank God, screeches to the halt. But when I turn and I just, you know, like that moment, the life flash before you, I've turned to this car and I just go, no! So I'm embarrassed. I never like talking about it. I said, no! I thought I might say something heroic, jump out the way. And it doesn't in those moments. So I then start to fall because my legs don't do what I think. You know, like you think you're going to be in a moment where you like kick off, jump out the way, like Bruce Lee. No, my legs gave up. And then I fold into all fours facing away from the car. And it's one of the... And so the whole road has seen an idiot walk across the road. They don't realise I'm going for a pasty. They just think this guy's got a death wish. I'm now heading across the road. Car screeching.
No!
All fours. To which point the car luckily starts to just move along. And the indignity. I think I'm going to die. This is genuine. Just the indignity of a car just bumping my bum. So what a whole street has seen is me being bummed by a car. And living to tear the tale. But it's just like, so yeah, I've almost got run over, but it was because of a fucking pasty.
He might have a dignified reason to why he was in the road. Pasty.
But this is it, mate. That's the closest I've ever had. Thank God the driver. And he got out. He was furious about it.
Even though he just bummed you.
Oh, yeah. Do you like Skodas?
But he got out. And to be fair, he's like, what were you thinking? And all I could say was just point. And just like, I was grateful. I was alive still. But just pointing and just go, steak bake. And just that's it. That's just one beautiful moment. Life flashes before me. Stay alive, steak bake, and it was like, fair enough. Like, that's it. That is the nearest death experience. And from that, I'm very cautious on the road now. Very cautious.
Cautious of pasties as well.
Mate, pasties are dangerous. Literally.
I've got Coughlin's now.
It is not just obesity, it is genuinely crossing the road as well. But genuinely, like, what was going through my head? I don't know. I just, and then the embarrassment. I think that's the bit that I think about now is those people. He might be telling that story. I saw a man get bummed by a car today. Not the almost die bit.
A gentle nudge of, you didn't even move you off all fours.
No.
Slowly rocked you.
Great core strength.
You're sort of looking back seductively.
Is that all you've got?
Smack on the ass.
So, mate, I think that counts as a near-death experience.
Is it? Well, I suppose. You started off with plane. I thought, you've been in a plane crash.
Well, no, but no, I haven't been in a plane crash.
She got bummed by a Rover Metro.
No, because I'd never had an irrational fear of being bummed by a car to death. Yeah. But I
do
did
now.
Did by
I want to be in my sleep.
But now, like, I feel like, yeah, plane flight, that's when I think I might die, but not being bummed by a car because of a pasty.
I do what I find is there's definitely the moments when you think, your life flashes before your eyes, and you just...
Didn't.
Or even if your life flashes before your eyes, you know, that was rubbish. It's just like...
But then I've been skydiving. I've not jumped out of a plane. There was no dignity. I got forced rolled out. And I thought I would say something poetic or just fuck. There's moments. You just fell. And I wasn't a great fall. I didn't enjoy it at all.
I did a skydive. Where was you?
I was down Hampshire Way, Southampton. Does that, well, that's where I'm from.
I was in Australia.
Wait.
I'm not from there. Oh, I went there.
on a plane. Mate, that's really dangerous.
No, Hampshire, that's where I'm from. Yeah. What do you mean? Well, you can go to other places.
Yeah, wherever you live, just look it up.
But no, I did it. And you know, like, basically, like, he's like, Aussie dudes, like, oh, you're like, hey, migrant, I fucking,
yeah.
Like.
Yeah,
and so they
too pumped up, too excited.
Yeah, they get you in a coach, and they have GoPro cameras, and they're doing it, filming. And my guy, he was like, yeah, Mike, fucking. And then he like put the camera out the coach window to film, like, get a shot from outside the coach. Yeah. Fucking drop the camera.
Oh, man, you trust this guy?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, this was it. I was like,
ah, don't worry about it, mate. Yeah. Got another one. There's only one me. There's only one Jack Skipper.
I was like, fuck, you know, this bloke, he can't hold a camera. Like, but, do you know what I mean?
Did he tell you how many jumps he did? Because the guy that I was with, a guy called Hank, who's from Holland, he was a really cool guy, and he came over. I've done 10,000 skydives, and I was like, that sounds like complacency to me. You are going to you're going to go into autopilot. Did your guy?
I think like, because this is just another day in the office for them.
Yeah.
I mean, but like, even when I was like, fitting carpets, I'd do it like for 15 years straight. I still fuck it up. Every now and then, I'll fuck it up. So there is that chance.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, all they got to do is pull the string, innit, I suppose. But
yeah, but there's more to it than that.
There must be more to it than that, I know. Unless there's not. I mean, just.
Well, because you're being hugged from that. So, like, these dudes open up the door if no one's ever been. And then the dudes who are filming you jump out. And that looks cool. Yeah. And then you get bum shuffled across, like the indignity of it. And then you're just on the edge. And the guys, Hank was like, okay, put your head to my side.
You do feel like
don't knock me out.
Vulnerable. You do. That's the most vulnerable you can ever feel. Isn't it? Like,
okay, I'm going to go 3, 2. And he went on 2.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, fuck! But it's exhilarating. But why would we do that? Like, so there's near death moments.
Yeah. It's cold up there as well, isn't it?
A little chilly.
That's the one. Like,
you worried about your willy?
No, like, I was thinking of like this experience. I'm falling from the sky, and it's gonna be. What should I think about? And my brain went a bit nippy, innit? that's where my brain went.
Do you remember what? Did you wear your best boxers, your worst boxers? Which ones did you wear?
I can't remember. I wasn't worried about shooting myself.
No.
No.
I wasn't. I'm not, no. Okay. But if you're gonna die, if you're gonna go.
But it was that. I think it is that.
I didn't want to have the pair with a
skydive, and you go. Because it's like, shit, this is a moment I'm falling from the fucking sky. And there is a moment of like, what do I look at? Like, or do you do? Because you're not doing anything, do you? Just how do you take that moment in? Do you know what I mean?
And the experience, I've never experienced anything. Like, I've never been bummed by a car before. I've never had this experience of the air. And you're thinking, I do not look cool now. And I've watched the video about it. I do not look cool. Because I've never experienced it. And my brain's going, this is a new sensation. What's happening here? And then the only nice bit was when the parachute has been pulled and you're just drifting.
Yeah, that is a moment.
And he's like, do you want to be spun around really quick? I was like, you can, no, I do not. I do not want to feel sick. I want to enjoy this serene moment.
Yeah, I landed on a beach in Australia. And I remember people saying to me, afterwards, because the adrenaline's so high, you'll try and have a beer, but it just you won't want it.
Yeah.
Like, it won't match the experience. That's not true.
No, straight away. That's how much you...
I was really waiting. I was thinking, for once in my life, I might not want to have a beer.
No, when I landed, that was it.
No, that's free now. So I see, actually gliding down.
That is brilliant. I love it when people tell you what you will feel in a moment like that. And when you're actually up there, you don't feel that thing. And then you think, am I broken? Is this or not? And then you go, no, I really like beer. I really like the taste of a crisp beer.
I'm like that. It's like well, you know, like moments when you think you should be crying and you're not.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, and you're like, you know... A wedding, I was like, yeah, like, oh, and you're not crying, but then you watch like DIY SOS, you're in fucking bits.
I've worked so hard for that ass. I've worked so hard for it.
A lot of graft went into that loft extension.
And now they can finally just settle and relax.
Like a real moment. Yeah. Kids being born, nothing.
My kryptonite is old people crying. That is the what. If I see an old person crying, I'm gone. And my fiance knows now.
How often have you seen that? I don't think I've seen it.
Well, this is a rare moment. Yeah. That's when I let it all out. And then all the stuff I've been holding on to, because people say you should talk about your feelings and that, not me. So I just let it all out in that one moment. Just a kryptonite moment, I'll let it all out.
Yeah, decisive.
People plan a cry. Like, I'm not saying they let's crash it. Next Thursday I'll do it. But people love to cry. I'm not a crier.
Well, if you're feeling, oh, I need to cry, you just go to a retirement home and abuse someone. Just for your own benefit. Like, hey, Mildred, you're fat and ugly. I feel better now. So. Yeah. It's the circle of life.
Circle of life, mate. Circle of life, Mildred. No, but I just feel like an old person crying, just doddering about. I'm like, oh, I can't hold it, mate. I can't hold it. It's gonna go.
Well, I always say the one for me is like proud parents. You know, like if there's like a little girl singing on Britain's Got Talent and her dad's crying.
That's you. You're gone.
That does me.
Wow.
Yeah, that is them sort of moments.
Oh, do you know which one I like at the moment? When a dog's reunited on Instagram. It's like, I'll read it. I'll be like, this dog has got taken away from its owner for 4-6 years and they come back. Yeah. Then I'm gone.
Or like
old people or dogs being reunited.
A deaf baby hearing for the first time.
Oh, I love those videos. They can't get enough of them. Or the baby that can't see, who's never seen before, sees the parent. Actually, to be fair, that's why I've sort of stopped reading or looking at Instagram.
You can't open up, but you sound like a very emotional man.
Yeah, but I hold it locked in, just locked in. I'd sort of go through Instagram, covers over, just go through like that, just to make sure.
I do wish I could just, because I think you do have the thing where you can have a cry. You think, oh, I feel better. You feel quite better now.
Mm.
You get it out. You know what I mean? But it's hard to like actors do it, don't they? Cry on demand.
Yeah, but they're broken, aren't they, actors? In a non-rude, judgmental way.
I think I could, like, you know, like, if you said, right, have you just sat there and tried to make yourself cry? You know, really think about something to cry?
No.
But if I couldn't do it. I don't think I could. I'd probably if I had a lot of time on my own. But if you had, like, a film crew around you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It'd be like,
there's a lot of pressure. I feel like it's the same sort of pressure that porn stars have.
Yeah.
Staying up.
When they have to cry. It's just for the film.
Okay, we've got the end shot. We've got the climax. Now, if we could just get you to cry wrong. What? I don't cry.
that'd be a weird niche. Cry porn. Just people crying.
Tell me about your childhood. I don't know why they're Eastern European, but just so it's just
emotional pornography. Ah, oh, tender.
Really tender. What I want to do though is I was thinking about this the other day. I really want to learn the piano so that I can go to a train station around the country.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like the piano's been made cool recently and I love it. I love watching them.
Anything like that.
Just people being shocked about how good someone is at piano.
Do you ever have moments where you've sort of start fantasizing? I think I did a bit of it on a video about it once. But like, I feel like driving. And a song comes on. That's how sort of self-obsessed I am. Can't just listen to a song and think, that's a good song. He's got a good voice. Yeah. I have to imagine that's my voice.
Never heard that.
I'm in a karaoke bar. Yeah. And there's like all my ex-girlfriends are there.
Yeah, really?
They're all there.
They all got the invite.
And they're all going, oh, I can't believe we broke up. Yeah. Didn't realise he sounded like Lionel Richie. No, so that's what they're saying.
But then, all right, okay.
To each other.
So the song's finished. Picture the scene, Jack. The song's finished. All your exes there. Yeah. Then what happens?
And they're all going, oh, we want him back. Yeah. I'm like, no.
And then you leave stage
door. I'm like,
door.
No, sorry. And then Polydor Records are there. They whisk me off in a limousine.
Not Sony, Polydor. He's thought about it.
they whisk me off in a limousine. And then I bum someone in my limousine who's just about to get a pasty. That's in there now.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah. So you genuinely, you'll hear a song.
Do you not do that?
I sing along.
Tashi, do you not do that? Do you ever done that?
No.
That's just me. I thought it was one of them really relatable. I got this new bit, about observational bit. Everyone's going to know about this.
No. I'll sing. Like, there's a Leon Bridges song that I quite like.
I like Leon Bridges, yeah.
I'm coming home.
And I'd put the voice on. Yeah. And I'd do that, but I would never show that to anyone.
You never do that?
To pretend to be the singer.
Yeah.
To
No, you're you.
Right, yeah. But you've got that voice.
You've got that voice for some reason, which would be weird considering I talk like this and all of a sudden I sound like Lionel Richie.
So you kind of want to be the like Britain's Got Talent moment where they're shocked by the voice. Yeah, I was not expecting that voice.
It's just in a local pub.
Yeah.
With a load of people there. My old teachers.
Yeah, if I was a psychologist, I would have you having a field day right now on this.
Yeah.
I've never...
Does that make me a narcissist?
It does a little bit. I think it does a little bit.
Yeah.
But there's only... Yeah.
I'm a nice guy.
Exactly.
Bought your coffee.
Yeah, no, you did as well. Thank you.
And I've had to... Which I've just had to tell everyone. I just bought him that, boy.
Can you fund me on my Just Giving page and let me know that you have funded? You know, just donated? It's always one, just, you know, anonymous.
What is a narcissist? And what actually? What is that? It's self-obsessed.
Yeah, loves himself. But I feel like you have to do that to a certain extent to be a stand-up. But you can't be the person succeeding per se. Like you can't go on stage and talk about your successes in life.
Yeah.
Which I think is why when you get a TV comic gets to a certain point, it's really hard. Like it was. I personally never normally bang on about this, yeah. But like when John Bishop, like amazing to watch live, small theatre, went on TV talking about the celebrities he's met, that changes the dynamic. Yeah. Like, and he does
Billy Connolly done it as well, didn't it?
Yeah. You're like, well, you're hanging around in a different circle. You're not the loser, but like we are. Like,
but it would be weird if he was hanging around celebrities and being rich and still talking about being a normal man, wouldn't it? Because it'd be like, you'd go,
yeah,
that's bollocks. You know,
yeah, you've changed and elevated.
Either way.
But it's like there's a musician, the second album. So when you've got your second song to perform to all the people that you know you want to impress and show that you've made it and they want you back, that you do something different. Like an artist comes out, releases that first album, everyone's like, this is incredible, this sound. And then they come back to do the second album when they've got money, their life's changed. Yeah. Everyone's like, not into it. But other new people come along and go, I really like this. Their second album.
That's tricky. I'm worried I'm actually a narcissist now. But I'm not, because you know what, one thing, I'm very...
You're reflective. You're a reflective narcissist.
I'm a reflective narcissist, but I don't like... I do think about other people quite a lot. I don't like letting people down.
Mm-hmm.
If I say I'll be there, I'll be there. On the wrong day at the wrong time. But
we were there. To be fair, you told me to be here today. I am here. Yeah. So you got that right.
No, but I do. I think I am sort of like... Sometimes I'll do a thing. Do you ever do this thing where, say, you're having a moment where you maybe do get into your own head and you sort of go, and then you walk away and go, oh, I didn't feel like I gave that person enough time then. Then I feel guilty.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will have to give them another call and go, let's do that again because I was in a...
All right. Today, I go to the service station, like the petrol station near me, but it's got a Subway in it. Now, right. I haven't had breakfast. Yeah. I'm running late, had the dentist. I was like, do you know what? There's a Subway there. I'll park up, get my petrol, go inside, order a Subway. The people there were not the usual Subway, like real fast people.
Newbies.
These were people that didn't know where the toaster was, right? Do you want it toasted with cheese? And you're like, yeah, it's over there. Like I was directing.
Oh, yeah.
But then obviously, not my fault, but I've decided I'm in there. I'm going to get a Subway. People want to use the petrol pump behind me. So I'm now that dickhead. No. But then I'm also, this woman came in, older lady, and she just came over. She's like, are you parked in number 3 or 7? Ooh. And I went, number 3. And she went, well, I think it's out of order. I've been waiting for you because you've been here ordering a sandwich. I'm like, why are you up in my grill? And I said very polite. I said, I don't know why you're getting antsy with me, you know. And she was like, I said, what do you want me to do? Like, I'm getting a sandwich. And I was a bit rude. That's not normally me, but she's just come at me. And she goes, well, I want you to apologize. I'm not going to apologize. And I feel like such a dick today. But then, is it my fault? Is it the petrol station's fault? Should I have then got my petrol, gone into the car, come back into the queue? I haven't thought about this or been reflective enough, but I feel bad because this lady's got to go to work, but then there were like 3 pumps empty when I came out.
It's just one moment. I think also, because you've got, you know, she is being a bit of a prick there. If that was me, I would have just done the, that's a bit annoying.
By the way, she's already paid and done her petrol and got in.
It's got her that much.
Yeah.
It's got her that much. She goes, I'm going to say, but then I suppose it's the,
What's the rule? What's the rule? Petty etiquette.
Only love can conquer hate. So you could have just gone. I'm sorry. I love you, my child. Yeah, looked into her soul.
Your best. Go. I should have done, but I didn't. Like, I'm not used to some people coming up and just getting up in my grill. No, so I'm a bit like, I don't know what do you want me to do?
I had one around this Christmas sweet sort of time. Anyway, there's like a road there's a parking space, and I went to, you know, you sort of pull in front of the space to parallel park, right? Mm. And as I've done that, a car behind me sped up and drove straight into the...
Oh, mate. Okay.
And I was like in shock, because it wasn't even like one of them... Do you know sometimes maybe someone will do it and go, oh, sorry, I didn't see you.
Were you indicating?
I was going in.
Oh, well, now.
I was going in, and there was no one else on the road. There was no one else on the road. It was like... And so this is how... So I sort of went, are you serious?
Yeah.
And then this disgusting person got out. Right. She went, yeah, I'm fucking serious. Yeah, fuck.
And you were like,
I won't tell you what I said. I'll tell you after the book. Yeah. But it's like, oh my God, blatant, like, you horrible.
But here's a bit, right? So in that situation, I feel like today I could have handled myself better. I could have made this person feel a bit better and explain. Oh, I'm really sorry. I've always thought about being in the petrol station and taking too long because of other people.
Yeah. I've been annoyed by it. I have been the person waiting and being...
I have as well. Yeah. But she's confronted me on it, not the other people that were doing it. And I'm like, then I want to pass the buck. Like, the subway people are being really slow today. Like, that's, I've never seen it this slow.
Yeah,
so is
yeah.
that on me?
Put a fucking subway in a petrol garage.
I was about to throw Tasha under the bus here. Like, she's already charged me extra. Hence why I got the cookies today, which I brought, just to let Jack know. I brought some cookies. So, but where does that... Someone has to be the person that just takes it on the chin and just goes, hey, do you know what? Yeah, cool. Allow it. Just let it go.
Putting a subway with slow workers is a... But in a petrol garage, that's just gonna.
But we talked about this because of being a narcissist. I feel like I constantly feel like I'm gonna feel awful about that interaction now for a while.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna do anything about it. I just need to know that. And so, actually, not a narcissist, not a nasty person. If you are reflective and thinking about others, majority of the time,
you're a good person. But I think I've got a thing called I've got hyper focus. Where I spoke about this. Who did I speak before? Rich, I was chatting to Rich Wilson about this, right?
Rich, yeah.
But I did this thing where I'll be hyper focused on something, and like say something in your career or something, it'll be going well. You're going, looking at the thing you're doing, and this is going really well, isn't it? And behind you, your house is on fire. And you're just sort of like, you're going through life, going, hey, like, this is going well. And there's like absolute chaos behind you. Do you know what I mean? That's me. And then I turn around and go, oh, fuck, sorry, oh, shit.
Yeah,
like, do you know what I mean? I actually did. It's a true story. When my son, he was a couple months old. It was my first day looking after the baby on my own. I was like, I got this. I got like one of them sort of like rocking chair things, right? And I was on the phone. I was like, it's going really well, actually. Yeah, I love it. Turn around. He was on the floor with the rocking chair just banging him in the head. Oh, shit.
That's epic.
Day one, you know what I mean? 20 minutes. Like, yes, I've got this nailed. I'm gonna go for a cigarette.
Mate. But that hyper-focus, like sometimes I feel like I was saying earlier, about being motivated, I've got focus everywhere on lots of different things, but just getting nothing done. Maybe that's a better description of what's going on. I've got loads going on, but not really doing anything with that hyper. Sometimes you need hyper-focus.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it's like, you know, but I think it's my... It's like a positive and a down. But like me, like I try and do a lot. I do this. I do like the sketches. I do stand up. I'm writing something at the moment. But only because like I really want to and I really enjoy it. Do you know what I mean? But it's not like it's a. But I think that is probably is part of my downfall. Is that I can't just I've been doing this thing lately and I'm really enjoying it. Right, taking the kids to school, and going to the gym in the morning. Right, and just leaving my phone at home. First 3 hours of the day. Just not at that. And you realise how much the addiction is, where it's like when you're sort of getting nearer to the house, you're like, oh, I'm near the phone again, I can't wait to get the fucking phone. It's really like, do you know what I mean? It's like, oh God.
Yeah, I've kind of it, like hidden away a little bit the idea of being on the phone. Like my other half, she, before bed, just Instagram, just reel after reel.
Sorry
after
about that.
Reel. Oh dear, dear, oh dear. No, she really likes Abby Clark. So anyway, I Can't help it. But just watching, and I'm like, do you want at any point just switch off from that world? Because it's so addictive just to keep watching. Yeah. And because she is like that, it's made me more anti it.
Yeah.
Which isn't great for my career, but I just kind of like, I don't want to be just on that. Yeah. And it's nice to be away from your phone.
See mine is because it is, this is the work thing, because it is my career. Yeah. No, so I have to sort of be on it. But I'm not much of a scroller. It's more just sort of like, if I have opportunities, it always comes through Instagram or comes through like, so I'm excited to see what that sort of stuff. And it's also, it's just like, I do things like this probably is narcissistic, like giving yourself, I need a pat on the back all the time. Yeah, that's sort of I realize this thing. You ever do that thing when sometimes I'll ask a question? So there's a thing. Does anyone want any questions? I'll ask a question, not because I want the answer, because I want the person to go, good question.
Yeah.
And I won't listen to the answer because I'm too busy going, fucking good question.
Just giving it the big one.
What a question.
So if you want to email me about that,
what? It is a nice warm little feeling when someone goes, good question.
Yeah, yeah. I've had that lots of times in doing various jobs, interviewing people, and I feel like I've got on. I don't know if you have this, doing this podcast. I know what you said at the beginning about being mates and that. But I often find when I used to interview celebrities that I feel like, I think we're going to be mates here, like genuinely. And you realise that the facade of it. So that sometimes you want that pat on back. They go, oh, that was a great interview. I always waited for that. And when they didn't, I was like, oh, right. Okay. Which is it. But anyone who is thinking, oh, I'm not that addicted to your phone, do what you've done and just see what happens. Like, give it up for 3 hours.
It's mental. You can actually see, because when you're, like most things in life, isn't it? It's we sort of touched on it earlier. It's the unconscious. It's the thing you're just doing. Mm. You don't even know why you're doing it. Whether it's like eating shit, wanking, whatever you're doing, you're just going. Yeah. You're sort of blind doing this thing, wanking with a burger. you look in the mirror. Oh, well, fuck!
Ah. Yeah. Well, my God, how have I let this happen? Again, you need to leave Burger King now, sir. But my phone's still charging. Oh dear! Do you know what the best? You mentioned you were gigging in Angel. The best time I've had a gig in Angel is when someone was there. It's packed, little night, and I'm like, "You all right? Can I chat to you? Don't talk to me."
Oh really?
I was like, taken aback by it. I was like, what do you mean I can't talk? Don't talk to me. Move on. Talk to someone else. I was like, why? He's like, I've only come here to charge my phone. Like, imagine a bloke being in an audience. Just a free comedy night just to charge their phone. It always stuck with me, and I've taken it as a great review.
What a place to charge your phone.
Yeah.
Right. Well, one of the questions is, what's the worst job you've ever had?
Well,
either be best job or exciting job or interesting job.
There's two sides to this. I grew up in Southampton, which is Hampshire. And that's where you can skydive.
You can travel from and to there.
Yes, of course.
one of those new kind of places.
They take you up in the aeroplane outside of Hampshire, and you go, it's horrible. And they go, don't worry, we're going back that way. And then you parachute back. But I worked at Southampton Football Club, my first job, outside of school. We went along. Earned some extra cash about 16 years of age, and we went to work in the burger concourse, like just where you can get some food at half time. And I just remember
lots of wanking.
Yeah. Just lots of blokes like you, mate. Lots of tattoos, just like you've got into your hyper focus, haven't you? So a lot of the time I have to turf them out. They gave us a little stick so we didn't touch their hands. I went there and I was like, this is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be making burgers, selling soft drinks. This is great. And I rocked up one evening. It was against Saints were playing Everton, and they're well known, the Everton fans, for being so polite. And my manager was like, have you done this job before? I was like, no. And she was like, I haven't either. So we were two people.
The manager?
Yeah, working in this concourse. This is how bad.
How did you get a manager job if you've never done a job before?
Maybe she got like 50p more. But yeah. I rock up. And then she's like, I don't really know how to cook the burger. There was no health and safety. There was no hygiene. I was like, this is mental. And the uniform was in a huge box in the middle of the concourse. And you just had to pick your outfit, mate. It was rank.
Right, we've got this new burger stall. Have you ever made a burger before? No, manager.
I like how precise, committed to it you were. You didn't mess about. You just had an answer. Mate, I'm making these burgers and they're rank. And that was my manager. And then two of the other staff that were there, like, I knew of them at school, but they weren't in my classes. They were just robbing the till. I was like, this is mental. This is a mental experience. So then going back 10, 15 years later and then getting to do the halftime entertainment at Southampton Football Club, being in the tunnel when the players are going through.
Oh, you're a cheerleader.
Yeah. And he had one pom-pom. I was furious, mate. I had to pretend. I was doing like a jazz hand with the other one.
I knew he'd make it from burgers to this.
But I just like, I'd always wanted to work in the club, just be closer to the pitch. And doing that. And then having to do like halftime entertainment, where once we had, there used to be a relay. So it's basically they get kids out of the crowd to just run. They get given a ball. It's two versus those, like two teams basically. They have to run to the next bit. So run to the corner flag. Then the other, they'd have to run to the next corner flag, pass the ball over. Or you did a penalty shootout. And on one particular day, I had a penalty shootout where it was a marriage proposal at halftime. And I was like, this is mental, like excited about it. And I was like, oh, brilliant. Which end are we going to do it? Going to do it in the away end. I was like, that's not.
Fucking what? They were Southampton.
Yeah. I was like, why are we doing it in the away end? They went, oh, it's better for the acoustics of this microphone.
The acoustics, everyone going,
hello, you. hello, welcome. To Samaris for today's. Like, that was awful. Yeah. Get there. You're taking on Sammy Saint, which is a massive dog. I don't want to ruin anything. It's a bloke inside. I don't want to kill any like dreams there. But very competitive, this guy.
His dog?
Yeah, the guy in the Sammy Saint. And then it was in front of 3,000 West Ham fans. So I'm like, they already hate me.
West Ham as well?
Yeah, 3,000 West Ham fans. The bloke is excited. He's a Saints fan. I asked, is she into football? And my manager was like, I don't think she is. I was like, that is so romantic. She's gonna love this moment. So they step up for a penalty shootout. She steps up first, buries the penalty. No one's expecting it. High heels as well, buries the penalty. And the thing is, I realised people love at the football is watching someone fall over. It doesn't matter age, like whatever, male, female, they just love it. in the background. So she buried it. They were adamant she was going to slip over, didn't. He then steps up, and then I have this moment. I've got a clipboard and a microphone, and I suddenly thought, what if she says no? So in front of this 30-odd thousand people, what am I going to do? And I thought the best thing I'll be able to say is I'll turn to him and go, Darren, never mind. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Do you still want to take a penalty? That's the only thing I had. And then he steps, he says, like, will you marry me? Beautiful moment. And then I just see 3,000 West Ham fans just like, I love football. I don't love. Irons. And they're all just like, and I thought they were going to storm the pitch and kill us or just do something. Like, they were so incensed that no one slipped over. What is this penalty shootout? Yeah. And then they all in unison, as this couple embrace, just point towards him and just say, like, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. And that is why I love West Ham fans, fantastic. Football in general. So for going from burger selling, that just like the grimy feeling of someone else's uniform that's been horrible, to then getting to these moments like that. Brilliant.
I was at Palace, I had a season ticket last season. So it was the halftime entertainment and they had the same thing, people taking penalties. And he's like, there was like they had like kids doing it. There was like a 7 and 8 year old kid. And it was Chelsea, it was a Palace Man U. And so the kid done the penalty and he ran off to the side to do the Ronaldo.
Yeah.
As he went, landed, fell flat on his face, right? And there was no, and it wasn't even like, it was just instinctive for like 30,000 people to go, ah!
That's what I mean.
there was like
we don't want your triumphs. Oh, she loves you. Yeah. Won't last. Yeah.
Like 8-year-old boy, though. Just like not one person just going, oh, just literally in unison, 30,000 people, his own fans. Ah, that's what you get.
Yeah, I feel. Do you know what? I feel like going to football and feeling that hostility. I sat not that long ago this season. It's not been a great season as a Southampton fan, but I sat in the access area, like for if you've got a disability, you in that area.
Yeah.
And I'm behind these hilarious, they're the funniest dudes I've heard at St Mary's for a while. These guys in wheelchairs behind me, and I can hear everything I'm saying. And I thought, I don't know why, I just thought they'd be polite about the players. Not at all. They can go in. Like, in a way that someone was like, do you want to pipe down? He went, what are you going to do? Hey, what are you going to do? And I just love that confidence of a guy in a wheelchair behind me just going, he's so shit. Like, he's god awful. Right. And then someone, and no one can say, do you want to just give him a, he's got, wait, I'm in a wheelchair, mate. Like, it's just, it was yeah, just the attitude I loved about them.
Yeah.
In the same way that you could, no one, you can't go to a football match and want, unless it's your team scoring, that's the only joy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? A kid falls over, falls flat on their face, that's added extra entertainment.
Watch, like, you know when you watch like football on telly and there's the, you know, there's always like someone taking a corner and there's the, and it's the away fans behind them giving them the wanker and yeah, all that. But the only sitting ones where it's like hardcore aggression, like if that barrier weren't there,
yeah,
they'd go over and, well, that might, well, like we just talked about the unconscious wanking with a burger, like when you have to look up and go, what am I doing?
Yeah, yeah.
These football fans must feel like that though, where it's like, Jesus Christ, yeah, what was I?
I've not just even finished my chips yet.
It's the man kicking a ball and I've lost my shit there.
Yeah.
I had a breakdown about that.
Mate, I got to do one of the best jobs I've ever done is being a Euro fan. So travelling to different Champions League matches and being the Euro fan, so supporting the home team.
Yeah.
So I've been some of the quite roughest teams in certain areas, hanging out with certain fans who are ultras, who aren't...
Wait, around Europe?
Yeah. So like Bayer Leverkusen, Dortmund,
who are the
Munich.
Worst?
In terms of what? Aggression.
Scary, just like fucking...
I feel like... The German ones were
really?
something else in terms of how ultra they are. Like, you know, they won't show their face on.
They're not very emotional people, though, are they, the Germans?
No, but the guy was like, "You cannot film me." Yeah. I was like, "Okay, why? Because I'm a school teacher when I'm not here." Like the real separation. If you can be an ultra,
yeah,
but it can't interfere with your. Turkey was Galatasaray.
I
mean,
I was gonna say Galatasaray's got to be the one. That's like,
hey, you are a Leeds fan. I'm like, no, I'm not a Leeds fan. Eh, stabby, stabby. Like, and you're like, come on, mate, that was you can't. But the kind of tribalism of it. Me being English, therefore, I must be from Leeds. They're assuming it's a big place. I'm like, no, not at all. So that was terrifying. Being in a market surrounded by Galatasaray fans, bit fearful of my life in that situation, and then. You go to like a mad place like in Romania, Cluj, and like hanging out with the Cefre fans, and they took me under their wing, but were like nuts, barbed wire everywhere. Incredible. Like to hang out with different fans was amazing. But yeah, I never feared for my life so much as maybe Turkey. Turkey was up there because it's just, you're just a swarm of Gala fans everywhere. And you just stand out like a sore thumb. Like,
hello, I'm English. Like, please don't hurt me.
Very much that way. And Italy as well. Italy, they're pretty ultra as well.
They make English look
tame.
Yeah, they don't. Really.
This is the thing. Like, I'd never planned to go to watch a game in Poland. But their ultras, the fact that they are could all be UFC fighters.
Yeah.
And
that
one's like, I'm just going to throw a chair, mate.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
We invented that ultra tribe, like the football ultras. But then they took it to another level, like massively.
I mean, are they like, is it about football?
I think it's a genuine release. Being in the yellow wall, the famous Dortmund end, where you've just got, the flags are up. They've got the tifo. So they played Chelsea a week or so ago. And all of the artwork that goes up, and it's normally like there was one famous one where he's got binoculars. We see you, Munich. We see you, Bayern. And we're coming for you. That kind of... So it's art meets this nostalgia. They sing We'll Never Walk Alone.
Yeah.
And like goosebumps and to be part of that.
Yeah.
So it's about a number, a team, a community. So when a football team is breaking down and the fans hate each other and, you know... I say that, Paris Saint-Germain, I met a guy at a bar after we'd been to the game, and I said, oh, I've been to the Paris Saint-Germain game. And he was like, I don't go, it's shit. Yeah. I was like, wow, no, it was a good game. Actually, it was nice shit. And basically, he was a proper, met up with other teams to fight. And he was showing me all of these pictures, and just like, I don't go anymore. Because we're not allowed to fight. And I was like, well, that's not why I go. I quite like pretty goals. You know, I just really like Neymar and Mbappe. Yeah. But yeah, that is about your colours and who you are.
Are they watching the game of football? That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like fucking...
Probably not. But it is...
Nothing to do with it, is it?
But it is a buzz to be in that and not be a part of that, to be watching and just to feel that animosity towards the opposition. And I think it's proper like human... element down there. You want to be part of it, but you don't.
When I watch the football, I feel the joy of watching football. Do you know what I mean? That's the bit I like. I like the getting excited or the sadness when you get knocked out or like
yeah.
It's just the anger side of thing. I've never and, understood that.
And like, there was a game, a couple of games I've been to at St Mary's Southampton, where a guy behind, he actually prefers moaning. He actually, I swear to God, he prefers to shout and say how terrible we are. When a goal went in from Saints, I turned round, I looked at him, and he that's very, you know. And you're like, so you, where's the joy come from watching football?
Yeah.
You know, it is, I love it, but I love most sport, but that one is the one where it's almost like an opportunity to just get it out.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way it becomes more family orientated, where do those people go to get it out of their system?
Yeah.
It's an interesting one.
I remember I was at it's a few seasons ago, but I had a ticket for Chelsea. I was in the Matthew Harnan stand, and there was a bloke there of his missus and his son, right? And he was like, classic Chelsea fan, I mean? Yeah. And he went down and he come back at our time. He's like, fuck, you know, yeah. He goes, geezer down there, he served me a coffee, it was cold. So I jumped over the fucking thing at him and done him. And I was like, no, you didn't. I mean, like, it's like his missus and his child looking at him, oh, what a hero. Yeah. You know, it's like, what a knob.
Yeah,
I mean,
if it can't be used for a greater good, yeah. What's the point?
But I mean, it's like when Football Factory came out.
Mm.
And it just like, it's like, I don't know, if it just changed everything. I just feel like there was loads of racking. Do you know what I mean? It's like, but Chelsea fans come out of nowhere.
But it's like that, the Peaky Blinders. Yeah, I'm Peaky Blinders. I got my old man one for Christmas. Yeah, I'm Peaky Blinders, isn't I? Look at me, I'm Peaky Blinders. And there's so, like, if you're ever caught up in it, like, you listen to a lot of, like, podcasts that people talking about when they were part of a firm.
Yeah.
And they all end by going, yeah, it was fun at the time, but then I realised I was an absolute dick.
You get a bit older. And yeah, because when you are younger, I mean, I was saying it to someone the other day, I can get like overly influenced by things. Like I'll watch a film, and I'll get really into it, and then I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna spend my life living like John Wick. Yeah. I'm gonna take no shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when I'll go to like a post office and the woman's like, you're in the wrong queue. I'm like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
John Wick wouldn't take that shit. But yeah, I think people do get heavily influence, and it's like, and then they get a bit older, wake up and go, fuck. But that's it, isn't it? You can sort of pardon like the younger people when you got a bloke who's like, come on, mate, you're nearly 60.
Yeah, just let
sort it
go.
Out.
Your enjoyment doesn't necessarily mean it's my enjoyment, but we all support the same team. It's a weird thing to get your head around, especially working for the club to the point where one time they had a summer fete, like the new manager, you get to be there, maybe about 2,000 Saints fans get to go along. And they get to queue up and get some autographs signed. And I was outside in the queue and everyone's chosen the queue. That means you get to get an autograph from Prowse and Shane Long and Oreo Romeo, some players. And then if you get in that queue, you get these people. So they're queuing up for ages. And I've got the Saints badge. It's my first official job for that halftime stuff. And I'm there. And then some people were like, they're going to shut. And I kept looking at my watch going, yeah, they're going to shut this in 10 minutes. And these sad fans. And I got called cunt so many times by people.
But you're still, aren't you?
Yeah, no. But I wasn't on stage, mate. I don't know why. I got up on a little plimp, so at least I felt higher.
You're a cunt. That's home from me.
Yeah. I'm still doing my time. But there, mate, they've shut the doors and Saints fans turning out go, you're a cunt. And I'm like, but then it's that association. I've got this badge on. I'm like, mate, I'm with you. I sprang out of order. Yeah, yeah. Like, you're a cunt. What are you going to do? My kid's crying. Like, only because you're shouting, calling me a cunt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you just, like, we're supposed to be the same, but we're not. And that animosity, hostility can grow. And if football just excites it or just gets that going.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this isn't part of my job description.
Nah, just enjoy.
Yeah. You got a couple of autographs, didn't you?
What's that?
You got a couple of autographs, didn't you? Yeah, but not the ones I wanted. Who are they for? Your son or you?
That's it, man. But just try and enjoy the football, guys. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. I know, that's the idea. Stop dip fighting. In, dip out.
But right, we're going to wrap it up.
Oh, what? I thought we'd only just got going. That was a warm-up, wasn't it?
It was a warm-up. It was just because we're best friends.
Besties.
Yeah, well, they've heard it there.
Yeah.
Happening.
Oh, mate.
In front of their ears.
I'd love to come back and do your gig.
Come back?
Yeah.
We'll come back and I'll say, this is my actual best friend now.
Yeah, yeah.
Officially. Oh, no, it was good friend before. Now it's going to be best friend.
Yeah. How do you prove that these days, that you're best friends with someone? We're following each other on Instagram. We've DM'd.
We could put our relationship Facebook. Status on Facebook.
All right, let's do it.
It's complicated. go for that one. But thanks for coming on, mate. Usually pleasure. I say, do you want to plug your socials? But you don't like social media, do you?
No, I love my social media. I'm really pushing it. Tom Deacon Comedy.
Get on it.
Hashtag _ cunt. According to a lot of Saints fans. Yeah.
No, thanks for coming on, man.
Mate, pleasure. Brilliant. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Cheers, man.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.